Well, it has been a difficult week for our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning Hockey Club. Now, for those of you who follow hockey, you know exactly what I'm talking about. For those of you who just learned that you live in Tampa and that we are a hockey town, okay, let me break this down for you. So we're in the playoffs, first round of the playoffs, best of seven. All right, best of seven. And this week, tough week, we lost the first three games of a best of seven series. And if you're new to hockey, I just want you to know that's not good. All right, so it's best of seven. We're down 0-3 in the series. And the other night, our head coach, John Cooper, was interviewed. And he was asked about what his message would be to the team. Like, what do you tell a team of incredible professionals, two Stanley Cups here in the last few years? Now we're down 0-3. Like, what do you say? And I got to thinking about that. I'm like, man, that is a great question. What do you say? I mean, I played a little bit of sports, done a little bit of coaching, you know. I mean, I don't mean to brag or anything, but won a tournament in T-ball one time. And, yeah, that was a pretty big deal, you know. So, I mean, obviously nothing on the level of the Lightning, right? So I'm just like, what would you even say? I don't even know what I'd say to a team of five-year-olds, you know what I mean? You're down 0-3 in a best of seven, like much less some of the best players who completely get it themselves. Like, what do you possibly say to motivate them, you know? And his answer, I thought, was rather profound. I loved it. He said, well, I'm going to walk in the locker room. I'm going to tell the guys, everyone who believes will show up tomorrow. Everyone who believes, show up tomorrow. And those who don't believe, they won't be there. But everybody who believes, they'll be there tomorrow. And team showed up last night. We took care of business, 6-3. Now it's only 1-3. That's right. That's right. 15 of us still believe. That's exactly right. But I love that answer. Everyone who still believes will show up tomorrow. Now, as I've thought about that, because I was so captivated by that answer, I thought that actually is an amazing reflection of what it's like to live as a believer in this world. Because here's the reality. If you live long enough, okay, even as a follower of Jesus, if you live long enough on this earth, even as a follower of Jesus, you're going to have some days where you feel down 0-3. You're going to have some days that don't go well. You're going to have some seasons that don't go well. You're going to deal with some incredibly difficult circumstances. You're going to deal with heartache. You're going to deal with broken relationships. You're going to deal with a health crisis. You're going to deal with something that brings tremendous grief in your life, an untimely death of a family member or friend. If you live long enough on this earth, even as a follower of Jesus, you're going to have days where it feels like you're down 0-3. That's just the reality of this broken world. And you say, well, what keeps us going? Our belief that we're not only on the winning team, but that our Savior, who has accomplished this final victory for us, is going to usher in a new heavens and a new earth one day where we will live forever with Him, with no pain and no betrayal and no grief and no loss. There will only be endless joy in His presence. And so here is a message of endurance for those of us who know and love Jesus, even this broken world where at times we feel like we're down 0-3, okay? All of us who believe will keep showing up. We're going to keep showing up. And that's the message of the New Testament. The message of the New Testament is not, well, you know what, you come to faith in Jesus and you give yourself a little fire insurance and then you kind of kick up your legs and you do whatever you want and you kind of hope for the best. No. The message of the New Testament is the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the one who's been radically saved by Jesus now has a desire and a disposition to love Him, honor Him, and serve Him, knowing that even in our worst of days, He has us right where we need to be, and He is coming again for us, and He's establishing a kingdom where He will reign with us forever. And so all of us who believe keep showing up. And he who endures to the end will be saved. You see, as we're talking about heaven in our current teaching series, we're not talking about something that's just, cause for debate and dialogue. We're not just delving into curiosities. We're not just trying to answer a few questions. No. Listen, what we believe about heaven matters greatly for our endurance because we believe that there is a day coming and there is a place coming where Jesus will have final victory for us and with us, and therefore that ground our obedience and endurance in the present. Yeah, there are going to be days it feels like we're down 0-3, but I got news for you. We're going to win. We're going to win. And all that we're talking about with heaven is ultimately designed to give us hope. Again, it's not just for the discussion of details, as fascinating as that may be. What you believe about your future will impact your life in the present. And what you believe about the future should ground your hope in the present. Because all of us are made for a future. And specifically, all of us are made for this future. We're made to know God and to love God and to be in communion with God for all of eternity. That's why the great C.S. Lewis many years ago said this. I love this statement. If I find myself, right? And if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If I find in myself something that this world cannot satisfy, the most probable explanation is I was made for another world. And guess what? You were. All of us were made for this communion with God. And therefore, what we talk about with respect to heaven is the grounding of our hope, the hope that the Lord is going to return, that he's going to establish a better place and a better day. And even when we're down 0-3, so to speak, no, there is this hope that endures so that in our faith and in our belief, we get up every day and we show up because we know that the Lord has us. And so if you're taking notes, just this is the second week, we're going to walk through now some specifics of heaven and some specifics of our hope. And I just want you to understand our hope is tied to heaven, all right? That's kind of what this is all about. If this is your first week with us at Bell Shoals, we're so glad you're here. Maybe you weren't here last week and you normally attend, but listen, this is what we're talking about. Our hope is tied to heaven. We're not just talking about details for no reason. No, these details given to us are designed to ground our hope. And we're in a second week where we're laying out some of the most notable aspects of heaven that we have in God's Word. So let me recap the two we covered last week, just in case you weren't here. I know many of you weren't here. You're with us here for the first time, either online or in the room today. So let me just remind you quickly of what we talked about last week. First of all, heaven is a place of renewal. All right, and this is important. This is really the most important aspect of what we're talking about with heaven. It is a place of renewal. First of all, it's an actual place that is going to be established, okay, and it's better understood as a new heavens and a new earth. In other words, it's not just pie in the sky. We're floating around on clouds with harps and wings. No, it's a place, and it's a place that mirrors in some way the Garden of Eden and the original creation that God established. No, the heaven that we're speaking of is a place of renewal, and there's two big parts of this. Number one, the earth is renewed. Remember, we talked about this last week. The earth is renewed, right? It's a renewed heaven and a renewed earth. This is what the scripture speaks to. Revelation 21:1, this is probably the most important verse I gave you last week. John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared." Now, that word new, I told you, is better translated renewed. It's only used, it's used quite a bit in the New Testament, but it's used in contrast with another word for new, which means new in time. This word is only used with reference to being new in kind or quality. And so what John says is, I saw a renewed earth and a renewed heaven. It's not new in time. It's renewed in kind and quality. I told you it's kind of like an old car that's been restored. The parts are new, but the car itself is not new in time. It's new in kind. It's new in quality. It's been renewed, right? And that's what God's going to do with the earth. We're going to live in a new heavens and a new earth. It's not, I believe, going to be radically different from what we experience now, although we will be able to do, I think, some radically different things. I think it's possible, for example, we can explore the universe, and we're certainly going to have plenty to do, but the earth is going to be renewed. Okay, secondly, our bodies are going to be renewed. So we talked about this, very important. So first big thing, heaven is a place of renewal. The earth will be renewed and our bodies will be renewed. This is so encouraging because we won't have disease, we won't have weakness, we won't have aging, and we won't have death, right? Romans 8 says this, and we believers also groan along with the earth, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering, and we too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including new bodies that he has promised to us. That's going to be awesome. Now, I mentioned last week, if you weren't here, that our new bodies may just reflect young Fabio. And a number of people asked me about that this week because apparently a lot of you don't even know who Fabio is. And I was shocked by that. So just so you have a little idea of what our new bodies might look like, I brought a picture today of Fabio so you can kind of get a little sense of what he looks like. So that's actually Fabio combined with our lead worship pastor, Jason Millsaps. That's what Jason may very well look like in the glorified body. And that is horrific, okay? So I'm hoping, get that off the screen. Goodness gracious. Ugh. All right. So we don't know exactly what our body's going to look like, but we know this. Jesus, after his resurrection, right? He ate. He had the ability to interact with touch. He was recognized. And so we talked about the fact that in this renewal, okay, this is the first big part of heaven. It's a place of renewal. The earth is renewed. Our bodies are renewed. We'll have relationships with each other, and there won't be any brokenness between our relationship with God or our relationship with each other, okay? All right, so secondly, to that end, remember, heaven is a place of reunion. It's a place of reunion. So we'll live forever with the Lord. We'll recognize each other, have relationships with each other that are unbroken relationships. Jesus taught this, Matthew 8, he said, I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. People coming, this is actually going to be super cool, from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And man, we're going to be together with the Lord. Now, one of the questions that has come in throughout this series is what language will we speak? And I have no idea. I have no idea. I grew up north of the Mason-Dixon line, so I'm not envisioning a little southern twang, but some of you, that's maybe what you have in mind, I don't know, but we know that we will be together, we'll be with the Lord, we'll know and recognize each other, so there's this renewal, there's reunion. Okay, let me get to this week now, here we go, third aspect of heaven, it's a place of responsibility. All right, so this is the first aspect we'll talk about this morning. Heaven is a place of responsibility. And I did not expect anyone to applaud this point. Because I know some of you are like, wait a minute, I've already made multiple tea times. Or maybe you're like excited about basket weaving or whatever you're going to do. Wait a minute, responsibility, hold up. Well, okay, here's what I want you to know. The Bible has several things to say about this dynamic. Okay, you got to understand that we are made for responsibility. We're made for work. We are made to accomplish things. And if you're new to the Bible, I want you to understand, okay, this is really important. Work and responsibilities, okay, were not something that God brought to the world after sin and brokenness entered the world. In other words, work, responsibility, like accomplishing something, is actually included in the original Eden before sin and brokenness ever entered the world. For example, Genesis 1:28, God blessed the man and the woman and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and the animals that scurry along the ground. This is the exercising of dominion. This is responsibility. This is work. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to what? To tend and watch over it. So work, responsibility, not a result of brokenness. That's actually God's original design for us. And if you think about it, even in our broken world, there is something fulfilling about a job well done. There's something fulfilling about working hard on a project and getting it done well. You know, I'll tell you this, I've been through a lot of education, and the best teachers and professors I ever had were the ones that pushed me the hardest. In part because they made me a better person and a better student. And man, when you got to the end of the semester, even though you had to work very, very hard, man, you felt like you had accomplished something. And there's just something in that. I'll never forget one of my favorite professors who's been since a very good friend. I had a 7 a.m. Hebrew class. That is an evidence of brokenness in our world, all right? 7 a.m. Hebrew, and languages is a part of my background that I love. And so I remember, I mean, I'm a 18-year-old college student going to 7 a.m. Hebrew class every day and a very tough professor. And I'll never forget, I still have this, by the way, I saved it. It's in a file in my office. I made an A on an exam, and I made like a 95 on it. And then I thought, oh my goodness, I can't even imagine how good that is, right? And underneath that, my professor wrote, now be on time to class. And it was like, hey, good job on your exam. You're still a loser, okay? And I'm like, dude, you couldn't have told me that. Somebody, like, I was so excited. Like, oh my goodness, I made a good grade on this exam and be on time to class. And my thought was, if you want me to be on time for class, don't make it for 7 in the morning, bro. It was his fault. See what I'm saying? All right. So, you know, if you think about it, maybe some of the best professors you had, maybe the best person you worked for, someone who's fair, right? But like, man, you accomplished something. They pressed you to be better. So even in our broken world, you know, you can sense the blessing of responsibility, you know, of accomplishing something. Work. We're made for that, all right? So let me show you a few scriptures that speak to this. This is the new heavens and new earth. We're going to have responsibilities. Isaiah 65. Okay, look, I'm creating new heavens and a new earth. And no one will even think about the old ones anymore. I showed you this last week, but just as a reminder. So be glad and rejoice forever in my creation. And look, I will create Jerusalem as a place of happiness. Her people will be a source of joy. So I just remind you of this. Our work will be a joy. Okay, the new heavens and new earth is not going to be a place where we're like tired and weary and frustrated in our work. And so Isaiah continues a few verses later. In those days, people will, I love this, live in the houses they build and eat the fruit of their own vineyards. Unlike the past, invaders will not take their houses and confiscate their vineyards, for my people will live as long as trees, and my chosen ones will have time to enjoy what? Their hard-won gains. And look at this, they will not work in vain. So the new heavens, new earth is not in any respect a lack of work or a lack of responsibility. Can I tell you what it is? It's work and responsibility without frustration. It's work and responsibility that's fulfilling to you. And I love how Isaiah depicts this, right? We will build our own houses and plant our own vineyards. We're going to be working. We'll have responsibilities. We'll be creative. We will exercise the capacities of what it means to be made in the image of God. I, for one, am very much looking forward to making a house that is childproof. And by that, I mean my kids will not be able to get into the house at all. Front door locked down, back door locked, garage door. I'll probably put a moat around my house with a drawbridge and Rottweilers out front. No, they can come visit at Christmas. Okay, I'm just saying. No, I love this. Like we're exercising creativity. We're working. We're being responsible. And here's what I want you to understand this, okay? This is so cool because we're going to be able to do things that give like a venting of our creativity and dedication and those things that are consistent with being made in God's image. But man, there's no thorns and thistles. Because the curse that we're under now is a curse given to Adam because of his sin and because of our sin, whereby the work that we do is frustrating. I know some of you are like, oh man, we don't live in an agricultural society, so what does that mean for me? Well, let me tell you what it means for you. You probably work with some people who are very frustrating to you. In fact, if you work with somebody who's frustrating with you, would you just point them out right here? Just right here. Could you just lighten up a little bit, right? Or I know many of you are educators and know how I love our teachers and those of you who work in our school systems and those of you who teach at our academy. I'm married to an educator. I know how difficult that is. Listen, educators, can you just imagine a world where you could just teach your students no parents? You know what I'm talking about? Come on, everybody got those parents. Some of you are like looking around to make sure there's no parents of your students in the room today, right? Those of you in medicine who, man, you take such good care of us and you work so hard and it's a crazy field right now, I know. And man, wouldn't the practice of medicine be great if you didn't have to deal with patients? It'd be so good, you know? I mean, the reality is, okay, we're not an agricultural society. The thorns and thistles may not be thorns and thistles for you, but here's what's true of our work right now, whether it's people, whether it's just problems in our work, frustrations, things we can't figure out, crises that surface that we're having to navigate. It feels like every week there's something, right? And listen, whatever you're doing right now, you have to understand you're doing it in a broken world under a curse, and it's going to be frustrating to you. But in the new heavens and new earth, we will only work and plan and create in such a way that it's fulfilling to us, and it's for the betterment of one another, and there's not going to be any just sitting around bored all day. Man, we're going to have a ton of stuff going on, and it's all going to be aimed at carrying out how God has made us to be. It's going to be awesome, right? So heaven's not just a place of renewal and reunion. It's a place of responsibility. And what's going to happen there, I think, is going to be incredibly fun and exciting as we exercise the creativity that God's given to us. That's why N.T. Wright, in his book, Surprised by Hope, said this: there will be work to do, and we will relish doing it. All the skills and talents we have put to God's service in this present life, and perhaps to the interests and likings we gave up because they conflicted with our vocation, will be enhanced and given back to us to be exercised to his glory. So I think there's a lot of stuff we're going to be doing that we're passionate and excited about doing, that give vent to our creativity and the gifts and talents God's made us for. Russell Moore said this: the eternal state is hardly inactivity for the redeemed, but instead work. Work that is joyously freed from the frustration of a cursed earth. The new earth is not simply a restoration of Eden, but a glorious civilization with a city, and the glory of the nations redeemed and brought into it. And one can expect that the new earth would be abuzz with culture, music, painting, literature, architecture, commerce, agriculture, and everything that expresses the creativity of human beings as the image of God. I take that to mean we will be singing journey songs in the new heavens and the new earth. Come on. Don't stop believing. How good is that? All right. Don't stop. Yes, there it is. All right. Hold on to that. Okay. All right. Man, so, come on, you get a little excited, you kick into the Steve Perry mode, it gets good, right? I mean, come on now, y'all with me on that? But here's my point, listen, renewal, reunion, but responsibility, man, like we're going to be giving vent to the creativity, the skills, the talents that God's made us for. And every now and then, you know, I'll read something or hear something about, oh, heaven, some boring place, what are we gonna do for all eternity? Man, no pun intended, I think the sky's the limit. I really do. Like, I mean, I think there's going to be an exploration of the universe. I think there's just going to be so many incredible opportunities for us to carry out the image of God in us. And it's not going to be frustrating, and it's not going to be boring, and it's going to be fulfilling, and I mean, it's going to be really exciting. So heaven is a place of responsibility, believe it or not. All right? Okay. Now, along with that, write this down. Next thing. Heaven is a place of reigning. Not like it's raining. We will rule and reign with Jesus. I don't have a lot on this, but it is referenced multiple times in the New Testament. I think it's important to mention. We don't know exactly if we'll be reigning over the angels or just over the earth, but we do know that we'll be reigning and exercising dominion with Jesus. This is super, super cool. Revelation 22:5, and there'll be no night there, the scripture says, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them. Now watch this, and they will reign forever and ever. This will be an exercise of the dominion that God has made us for. And I don't know exactly what that's going to be like, but as a part of our responsibilities, we will reign and rule with Jesus, whether over angels or cities or the earth, and exercising dominion over it. But it's going to be super cool. That's a part of what God has made us for. That gets us to the fifth aspect of heaven. It's a place of reward. I believe that our reigning in some way will be commensurate with the rewards that God will give to us as a result of our faithfulness in this life. Now, let me just say, here's a caveat. I'm not 100% on this. And one has to make a call when you study the scriptures, but I'm probably 75-25, somewhere in that range. I think the scriptures give more indication than not that we will have some measure of rewards in the eternal state. I only mention that so as to be honest and transparent, but also when we get to new heavens and new earth one day, I don't want none of you making fun of me on this, okay? Hey, Pastor, remember when you said, man, you were wrong, okay? I'm just telling you, I might be wrong on this. But if I'm right, I'll be coming to your house. And remember, I was right on this, okay? So I'm not 100%, probably 75-25. But I do think, like I said, there's more evidence than not that there will be rewards based on our faithfulness in this life. In other words, I think our obedience to Jesus in this life matters, and I think it echoes into eternity in some form or fashion. And that does not mean that there's going to be anyone in the eternal state, new heavens and new earth, who's lacking any joy or any fulfillment in what they do. I do think it's going to echo into the future in this way, that there'll be different responsibilities, different aspects of reigning, based on one's faithfulness to Christ in this life, okay? Let me give you a few examples, just a few scriptures as to why I think this is an important part of the eternal state. One is what we know, the parable of the minas, the silver, in Luke 19. Jesus talks about a master who distributed some of his wealth to his servants. He went away. When he comes back, he's going to kind of take inventory of how they stewarded what he gave them. So just a little snippet of this. Here's what Jesus said. After the owner was crowned king, he returned and called in the servants to whom he had given the money. He wanted to find out what their profits were. The first servant said, well, master, I invested the money you gave me, and I made 10 times the original amount. Well done, the king said. You're a good servant. You've been faithful with the little I entrusted you. So watch this. You will be governor of 10 cities as your reward. I think there's some echoing to the future here. The next servant said, well, master, I invested your money, and I made 5 times the original amount. Jesus said, well done, or Jesus said, the king said, well done. You will be governor of 5 cities. I think there's an echoing there. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 3. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their hard work. 1 Timothy 6 says this, teach those, Paul says to Timothy, who are rich in this world, not to be proud, not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always ready to share with others. Watch this. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. Now, these are some of the scriptures that I think point forward to our responsibilities and our reigning with reward. We'll give an account for our lives. I believe that everyone gets the same heavens and earth, new heavens, new earth. Everyone's going to be fulfilled. There's not going to be any envy in heaven, but there are going to be varying degrees of responsibility, varying degrees of reward. Some of the great theologians of the past pictured it like this, okay? Everyone has a container full of joy, but the containers don't necessarily have to be the same size. The great Jonathan Edwards said this. He said, every vessel that is cast into this ocean of happiness is full, though there are some vessels far larger than others, and there shall be no such thing as envy in heaven, but perfect love shall reign throughout the whole society. And so, as we put together these incredible details of heaven that ground our hope, it's renewal, it's reunion, it's responsibility, it's reigning, I believe it's reward, so let me encourage you today. Your obedience and your faithful service to Jesus matter. And even though in this life at times it may feel like your obedience is in vain, it's never in vain. And Paul says as much in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, let us persevere, brothers and sisters. He says, actually, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your work is never in vain. Because I believe we have reward. And then lastly, okay, maybe for some of you, most profoundly, heaven is a place of rejoicing. It's a place of rejoicing. And there's a cool dynamic here I don't want you to miss, because this is really one of the themes we have of heaven. And this kind of, as we wrap up this two-week focus on the details of heaven, I mean, I want you to understand, like, it's rejoicing start to finish. Revelation 21:4 says this, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All of these things are gone forever. Now, let me just tell you how profound that is. The word that is used there, it's translated in English often, wipe away. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Now, understand, that word is only used 5 times in the New Testament. Do you know that in every single usage of that word, with the exception of Revelation 21, it is translated cancel or erase? Now, let me tell you why that matters. Because John is not saying that in the new heavens and new earth that Jesus is just going to take a Kleenex or something and kind of just wipe away those tears. No, here's what that word means. What Jesus is going to do in the new heavens and the new earth is he's going to cancel out our tears. He's going to erase death in the eternal state. He's going to erase sorrow. He's going to erase grief. He's going to erase sadness. They're not going to be there. Do you know why? Because the curse is gone. We will no longer live under the curse. And it's not just that Jesus is going to come around and wipe the tear from your eye. No. The word is he's going to cancel them. In other words, Jesus in the eternal state is very pro-cancel culture. He's going to cancel grief and sorrow and death and brokenness. Like, cancel it, erase it. It's gone forever. And one of the reasons, even right now, when it feels like in life, because of a health issue or a financial issue or a broken relationship or a traumatic circumstance, when it feels like you're down 0-3, let me tell you why we get up and we show up for the next day and we continue to believe, because there is a day coming when the curse is gone and every tear is canceled and erased, and we will only rejoice in the Lord and in each other every single day of our lives. That day is coming. That is our hope. Again, it's not just wishful thinking. Like, God hasn't given us these details just so, we have something interesting to talk about at the water cooler. He's given us these details that culminate in this spirit of rejoicing to remind you that under the curse and in a world of brokenness where people often let you down and fail you and you deal with betrayal and you deal with brokenness and you get up in the morning and you feel like you're down 0-3, here is the Lord saying to you, no, there is a day of rejoicing coming. A day of reunion coming, a day of reward coming, right? A day of renewal coming. This is our future. This is our hope. That's why Tolkien said, who wrote Lord of the Rings, in the eternal state, all the sad things on earth will come untrue. All the sad things will come untrue. Jesus will cancel them out, baby. They're gone. And we will only be with the Lord and each other in a spirit of rejoicing. Our work will be fulfilling. Our relationships will be fulfilling. We will know endless joy together. We'll have reward, I believe, for our faithfulness to the Lord. And there we'll be with the Lord forever. which led one of my favorite heroes of the faith, Miss Johnny Erickson Tada, to talk about the eternal state in a way that I think is profound. If you don't know who Miss Johnny Erickson Tada is, she is a quadriplegic who broke her neck as a teenager and was confined to a wheelchair all of her life. She's well into her 70s now. And through that horrific circumstance and her very difficult life, God has used her to encourage millions of people. And years ago, I read something that she wrote about the eternal state. This woman who's been confined to a wheelchair her entire life, unable to care for herself, but yet has maintained her faith in Christ and her hope of heaven. And Miss Johnny said this about seeing Jesus one day. She said, "I hope in some way that I can take my wheelchair to heaven. With my new glorified body, I will stand up from that wheelchair on resurrected legs, and I will be next to the Lord Jesus, and I will feel those nail prints in his hands, and I will say, 'Thank you, Jesus.' And he will know I mean it, because he will recognize from me how hard I have leaned on him in my sufferings." And isn't it, by the way, comforting to know that even in our sufferings, the Lord is using them to grow our faith and our trust in him? Even when it feels you're down 03, no. You have the confidence, dear one, if you know Jesus as Savior, that nothing comes into your life that's not filtered through his hands of providence, and he's using even the suffering in your life to prepare you for your future glory. And Miss Johnny said, "Oh, when I see Jesus, I hope I got that wheelchair there. And as I stand up on my resurrected legs, I'm going to say, 'Jesus, you know how hard I leaned on you. So you know when I say thank you that I mean it, because I have depended upon you my entire life.'" She continued. She said, "So then, Jesus, I will say, 'Do you see that wheelchair over there? Well, you were right. When you put me in it, it was a lot of trouble. But the weaker I was in that thing, the stronger I depended upon you. And the stronger I discovered you to be." And then she made this statement, "I do not think I would have ever known the glory of your grace if it were not for the weakness of that wheelchair." And then here's my favorite part. She concluded by saying, "And so now, Lord Jesus, if you would like, you can send this thing off to hell." Isn't that a good word? And I can only imagine what Miss Johnny's had to deal with in this earthly life. But I thank God that she's been an encouragement to me and millions of others by reminding us that one day we will see the Lord face to face. And he won't just wipe away every tear from our eyes. He's going to cancel them. And he's going to restore every broken relationship. He's going to vindicate every wrong. He's going to establish a place where righteousness and joy dwell forever. And with glorified bodies, we will serve him. We will build. We will create. We will explore. Man, we will spend eternity together. This is our hope. And so today, I just want you to understand that if you walked in the room today and for any reason at all, you feel like you're down 03 through Christ, you're not really down 03. He's already secured victory for you. He just hadn't showed you yet how it's going to happen. But there's coming a day when he's going to return and he's going to establish his kingdom. There is coming a day when this new heavens and new earth is going to take shape. And so let me just encourage you, dear one, wherever you are in life today, especially if you're not feeling the very best you've ever felt before, I just want you to understand, he who believes will show up tomorrow. Are you with me? He who believes will show up tomorrow. And we'll keep pressing forward. And we'll keep serving the Lord. And we'll keep sending out mission teams. And we'll keep serving those in our community. And we'll keep reaching out to the next generation. And we're going to keep doing all that God has commanded us to do, because there is coming a day when he's going to return and inaugurate this kingdom that will never end. And there is coming a day when we will rejoice for all eternity. We know it's coming. It's just a matter of when. And so in the here and now, he who believes will show up tomorrow. And whether you feel like you're down 03, up 03, it doesn't matter. If you know and love Jesus, I can promise you this, there's a greater day coming, a better day coming. He's got you. And so let's be found faithful. If you're maybe new to church, new to Bell Shoals, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I just want you to understand, you don't get to heaven any other way except through Him. And if we can help you with that relationship, catch me here after service. I'll be hanging out down front. We've got some of our team at the round tables in the back. And we'd love to talk with you about how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus. Because last thing, hear me now. Heaven is only heaven because Jesus is there. There's no heaven without Jesus, you guys. And so if you don't know Jesus, you need to know Jesus. And we'd love to introduce Him to you. And if you do, then my encouragement is, Bell Shoals, in our faith and endurance, let's get up tomorrow and let's do what we got to do for Him. You with me? We're gonna get up tomorrow. We're going to show up tomorrow in faith until He returns or calls us home. And so let me ask you to stand with me now. I want to pray for us. And then I look forward to seeing you next week. Next week, we're going to answer the 1,412 questions that you sent in. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So I encourage you to be here next week. We also have a podcast we're releasing next week. It was originally supposed to be one episode. It's now four episodes because of your questions. And it's going to be a special day. So I look forward to seeing you next week. Let's pray. So God, I thank You for this hope that we have in You. Lord, I know that there are many with us today who feel like they're down 0-3. Lord, there's a financial burden. There's something with work. There's something with family, kids, marriage. God, I know we've got some here today that are still grieving the loss of a loved one. Lord, we live in a broken world, a world that's under a curse. But I thank You that through Christ, You've delivered us from that. God, You've given us opportunity to be delivered from that. And so now our hope is no longer tethered to this world, dear Father. We thank You for that. Thank You that even today when we feel discouraged or angry or disheartened, Lord, when we grieve even, God, it's not without the presence of hope. And I thank You for what You've revealed to us about heaven, this incredible place that You're preparing for us that's coming. And I pray that these truths would encourage every single person here today to be faithful, to stand up and be counted. God, I pray that in our belief, we will show up and continue to be faithful to You until You return or call us home. We thank You for this hope in Jesus' name. Amen.